Good morning. It is Tuesday, June the 11th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I am John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. It's good to be here this morning together with you and our host. He's our host and he's our most distinguished guest, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he's with us. And because he's with us, there's no distance between us. We're in different places and yet we're in the same place. We're together, seated. It's like we're at the right hand of God where Jesus is, ascended in the heavens. And picture us there. There's a lot of seats in the auditorium, let's think of it, the cathedral, the great cathedral of the heavens. And, you know, there's probably a lot of empty seats. And today, our seats aren't going to be empty. We're going to take our seats. And I kind of have a sense of seeing you across the hall. And I'm saying, hey, there's some open seats over here. Come over here. We're all together in the same room, but let's actually get close together in our seats for this session as we sit before the Lord of heaven and earth and meet with him this morning. That's what the wake-up call is. It's a meeting with the Lord of heaven and earth. I think about Hebrews 10. Therefore, since we have such a great high priest, I think it says, let us draw near. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, which is his body, let us draw near with full assurance of faith. I think I may have butchered that text, but you get what I'm trying to say. That's what we're doing every morning. That's, in fact, why the consecration prayer begins by saying, Jesus, I belong to you. And it closes by saying, Jesus, we belong to you. Let's just move across the great cathedral and grab seats together this morning. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, What Does Your Shield Say? Could be, what does your shield say? What does your shield say? I guess we could read that several ways. Our text is Acts chapter 18, verses 7 through 11. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. That's the word of the Lord. Now consider this. Some years back, in the midst of a tumultuous time in my family's life, I began to repeat a short creed over and over. I tried to teach it to my children. I emblazoned it on a small wooden shield I cut out of a piece of thick plywood. After all, the Bible teaches us that faith is a shield. See Ephesians 6. Sometimes we need to get beyond the metaphor and into the literal reality. Okay, all the time we need to do that. The words of the creed on the shield, you're asking? Three words. We trust God. I remember one of my children making this remark. But Dad, it says this on all our money. I thought to myself, she's right. But maybe that's what's wrong. A nation with a Christian self-understanding would put such an inscription on its currency. But for a nation who does not understand itself as Christian, such an inscription is utterly meaningless. It raises some questions. Who is God? Who are we? And what does it mean to trust? In some measure, maybe we are where we are today, at least in the United States of America, because we assume that putting such inscriptions on our money and pledging allegiance to flags of a nation under God and praying at Friday night football games would somehow get it done. It didn't. We live in Corinth. It's time we realize that trust in God must become insanely personal before it ever has a fighting chance of becoming anything resembling corporate again. Who is God? Who are we? And what does it mean to trust? This comprises the little curriculum behind this little creed. And what does it have to do with today's text? Thanks for asking. In a post-Christian nation, where the odds of making even a dent in the cultural fabric are overwhelmingly against us, we need to hear the word of the Lord to Paul. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack or harm you, because I have many people in this city. Living in a post-Christian nation has a massive and little recognized upside. It is also a pre-Christian nation. The big lament: the United States of America is a post-Christian nation. The even bigger opportunity: the United States of America is once again a pre-Christian nation. In the end, it's not even about a Christian nation, as though a nation could somehow be Christian. Jesus seems to be a lot more interested in building a church and growing a kingdom in the midst of nations. We trust God. I think I'm going to dig that little shield of a sign back out and put it next to the front door so we can tap it as we leave the house every day. In the same way a Notre Dame football player touches the sign in the locker room, "Play like a champion today," as they leave the locker room and enter the playing field on game day. I had some of these little signs made years back. They say, "So like a champion today." I had a vision of every church in Sower Nation having one of these next to the door on the way out of the church and everyone tapping it as they headed out the door onto the playing field. It's starting to happen. In today's email, there's a link I'd love for you to click and see my sign and shield in living color. And in the podcast, which you're hearing, I'm going to tell a little bit more of that story of the shield. And we might even declare the Sower's Creed together. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for being a God we can trust with everything. How we thank you for entrusting yourself to us. We just hear the hymn, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, for grace to trust you, Lord, more. Would you bring our faith beyond the metaphors and into the literal realities? Show us how to post our signs and our shields along our everyday paths, that this faith might get out of our heads and into our hands, that it might come alive in living color, in technicolor, in 3D full dimension. We belong to you, Jesus. And we thank you that you have many people in our cities, in our towns, in this nation, in the nations of the world. You've got people everywhere, Lord. And in those places where you don't have people, send us to go and be those people. And we do want to pray for our nation, those of us here in the United States. We join with anyone anywhere listening here who are praying for their nation. We say yes and amen to those prayers. But we who are living here, we just ask you, Jesus, to wake us up. You know, allow us the grace of lament and mourning and grief of what once was, but move us on now quickly into opportunity, into possibility, into the hope of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Give us the grace to sow seeds, some of which we'll see come up and bring fruit, others which we won't get to see bring to harvest. There'll be a generation that comes later who will reap where they've not sown, just as we have sown, just as where have we done the same. Well, I should close, Lord, but we agree in these prayers. It's good to sit with you in the house of the Lord today with each other. In Jesus' name, amen. The questions, the journal prompts. Does this reflection discourage or encourage you concerning the present and future of your own country or culture? And why? And I'd love to know about your shield of faith. For our hymn today, we're going to sing another one of the big ones. It's a classic one. It's just a massive hymn. It's number 7. We're getting back to the front of the book, aren't we? Number 7 in our seedbed hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. It's called Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. We'll sing all 4 verses. Number 7. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, Enlightened, inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Guys, remember, we're seated in the throne room of God. You might want to stand up. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, O help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee. You ready? Amen. You got to sing the amen on these songs, these great grand hymns of the church. This one's 1867, Walter C. Smith. Wow. Oh, help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee. You know, I'm liking this sanctified vision, this sanctified holy imagination of being seated in heaven and just becoming aware of the angels and the archangels and the elders and the living creatures and all the drama of the worship of heaven. And we're participating there. And it's like, you know, the session, it won't come to a close, but we will be sent into our fields for today. This is where we're coming to. He's going to send us out in the fields for today. I wish I'm running out of time, but I would love to. Let's just give it a shot. Today, I sow for a great awakening. Today, I stake everything on the promise of the Word of God. I depend entirely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, I have the same mind in me that was in Christ Jesus. And because Jesus is in me, because Jesus is good news and Jesus is in me, I am good news. Today, I will share the extravagant love of Jesus everywhere I go and with everyone I meet. Today I will love others as Jesus has loved me. Today I will remember that the tiniest seed becomes the tallest tree, that the seed of today becomes the shade of tomorrow, that the faith of right now becomes the future of the everlasting kingdom. Are you ready? Today I sow for a great awakening. Guys, I messed that up a little bit. I was working off memory, and it just reminds me of I've lost a little bit of touch with the Sower's Creed, which is a sign it's time to get it back out. Well, thanks for going the extra minute with me. It's time to hit the fields. We'll see you back here in the throne room tomorrow. But today, I'll be looking for you on the field for the awakening. I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.